You ready?
I'm ready whenever you are.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beer Bottle QBs are back, and let's start off with one thing. Washington State back in as a contender in the Pac-12. Had to lead off with that. At least we have one team going for us, but other than that, crazy week of college football last weekend. Literally, probably one of the craziest I've seen in years. CJ, what'd you think?
It was crazy. Let me start off the podcast by saying the Cougs are back. We've called it all along. We've been saying Washington State. We are a Washington State podcast. If people forget, I think we say it every single episode.
We do.
But we are a Washington State podcast. And they're back. They're back
they
in
back.
It, baby.
I love it. I mean, Mike Leach has them back in the mix. Huge game this week against Oregon now that they took down Washington in overtime. I mean, the Pac-12 is wide open. We're going to get to that later. Let's just talk a little bit about this week's games. Because, I mean, all around, crazy ones off the board.
Crazy.
Absolutely crazy. Let's just get this out of the way first. Michigan has a really good football team.
Yes, they do. And
really
that loss at the beginning of the year
looks a lot better now.
Is looking pretty bad, but also, have people forgotten? I think so. They're very good at football.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that they have one loss to undefeated Notre Dame means they're going to get their shot against Ohio State, and that's basically what the Big Ten comes down to this year because everyone else is absolute dumpster fire, garbage. How in the world did Michigan State just go in and beat Penn State?
Oh, Penn State looked horrendous.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It looked so bad.
Terrible.
And they were ranked number 8 in the nation. Like, we've been saying this the whole time. The Big Ten stinks besides two football teams.
And Ohio State may not even be that good. They've only played TCU and Penn State, and TCU, I hate to say it, has been disappointing.
Yes,
has been disappointing.
Unfortunate.
Penn State, not good. Michigan State was not a good football team. But, man, that was a crazy play to take the lead. The back shoulder throw, diving into the end zone. I loved every second of it, Siege.
This was such a great week. We had some crazy games. Crazy.
Absolutely crazy games. I think next, speaking of the Frogs, heartbreaker for us. Just no offense, Siege. Our offense
just
can't get together.
Well, we have an offense. We just turn the ball over.
It's true.
That's like we. If you look at the box score, like Sean Robinson threw for 290 yards.
Yep.
Like we have an offense. We just have a turnover problem. And if we don't turn the ball over, we beat Tech, 35-17.
Yeah, I heard an interesting stat at the TCU watch party up here in NYC. We are actually dead last in turnover margin in the country.
Yep.
Which for a Gary,
we are number 130 out of number 1 out of 130 in turnover margin,
which has really been the difference in the entire season. It's unreal. It has to be fixed. So I don't know if you just spend a full Tuesday 2-hour practice just with all of our running backs, receivers, Sean, just hitting them on the arm while they hold a football and run through it like in the gauntlet. I might just spend a whole practice doing that.
I think you have to.
You might have to. But
something has to change, and I don't know what it is, Blake. I'm not saying I'm a turnover whisperer, but something's gotta. I don't even know what to say. My head's about to explode because I don't know how you can lead the nation in turnovers at TCU, being a premier football program.
Yeah, we're not getting him on very much on defense either, which is not typical of Gary Patterson teams. And it's just, I mean, it's really just, we got to change something if we want it. Speaking of that, though, Iowa State has given the Big 12 a miracle and just blown the entire thing wide open with their home blackout win over West Virginia. Man. And they really dominated them. People slip up in Ames all the time. We saw Oklahoma State do it. TCU did it last year.
Oklahoma did it last year.
It's literally Iowa State toppled another giant, a top 10 team, and did it in absolutely stunning fashion. And they honestly gave every single team in the Big 12 a new chance to believe. Even the Frogs. We have two losses. If we win out, there's a legitimate shot we can make it in still. Simply because of how the things are working.
You're right. If we win out, there is a backwards chance that we get into the Big 12 championship game, which is unbelievable.
Absolutely unbelievable. But the Big 12
is wide open. If we keep turning the ball over the way we are, that will not happen.
That's absolutely true. But Iowa State still has some big games on their schedule. They're a two-loss Big 12 team, but they get to go into Texas. They could be a stunner this year and could do some big things going into Big 12 play. They play Tech still, and then the rest of their games are very winnable. They have Kansas, they have Baylor, they have Kansas State. And then Texas is really the only one that's a huge threat at the moment, and the only one they play, only big game they play on the road, really.
Mm-hmm. That's a tough game. Texas is playing good football with Ellinger, I'll say.
They are playing really good football.
Because when he got hurt, they looked like a completely different team against Baylor.
That is true. And Baylor, let's talk about that one a little bit. Is Baylor actually okay, or is Texas just an average team unless Sean Ellinger is just playing on fire?
I think Texas is an average team with any other quarterback not named Ellinger. If he's in there, I think they're a good team. But, I mean, you saw it. They were beating Baylor pretty handily, and then once Ellinger went out, it was like garbage, like it's always been at UT.
Like it's always been, yeah, at least the last decade. That's true. I mean, I think he really has been the game changer this year and has been the reason that they've been successful. Along with their defense is a talented defense, but it's not going to win them every ball game for them, and they have some tough ones left on the schedule, albeit they're all at home. So Texas has a great shot at winning out. Iowa State gave them a blessing. They are now in the driver's seat of the tandem bicycle, as Brooks and Fletcher like to point out on Saturday afternoon in our group text. So we have that going for them. All right.
They are the only person on the bicycle currently.
They are currently the only person on the bicycle. We'll see how things shake out in the next couple weeks. All right, we have to go to Miami. Miami sucks.
Miami sucks.
Knew this, but I don't know if we knew, that Virginia would beat them.
I didn't even think Virginia still had a football team.
It's very possible. They've been non-existent for all.
Well, they finally. I saw this. I can't take credit for it, but I saw this tweet that was absolutely hilarious. It said, "Virginia finally beat a number 16."
That's good. That's good.
Roasting that's even a basketball roast.
Yeah, it's a nice UMCB or UMSB. What is that? What's your name? One of those.
The Retrievers. Whatever the Retrievers are.
The Retrievers with the golden Twitter account. That was great. That's a great burn. I love it. Yeah, they just look bad. Only putting up 13 points, like, it's just bad football. You can't do that.
There's been a lot of teams that have played bad football in the recent weeks. Like Auburn. Auburn stinks.
Auburn does stink. They just got rocked by Tennessee, which is Tennessee has not been a good football team this year. But we kind of knew that Auburn wasn't that good. Like, they got real hype for beating Washington earlier in the year. And Washington's been good, but they've been okay. Like, they couldn't close the deal. They were about to beat Oregon with that missed that field goal to send it in overtime. But you can't do that. Championships teams don't miss field goals like that. So you just got to roll with it. Auburn's not that good.
No, they're not. How much is Alabama going to beat Auburn by in the Iron Bowl?
I mean, the spread's going to be at least above 21, I'm assuming, at this point. And I say they beat them by 30, at least.
I agree.
I think they're going to destroy them. Alabama, the only team that Alabama has on their schedule that has a possible chance of beating them is, do you know who? CJ, tell me you know who.
Oh, Kentucky, baby.
No, not Kentucky. Go Tigers. Let those Tigers eat. They're playing Neck in the stadium. Suck that Tiger dick. Great song. Whenever you see that, oh, man. When they chant that, it gives you chills because they're just like, wow.
The Tigers looked good.
They did look good. They looked really good. And I think Georgia's still a top-tier team. I still have them in my top five as teams in the nation. They didn't play well, but LSU is the team we thought they were. They played to their competition. I think that's why they lost to Florida, which is an okay team. Not a great team, but an okay team. Yeah. But I think LSU, Alabama has to go to Baton Rouge. So LSU could not have had a better schedule this year than Georgia and Alabama at home.
Yeah. So, I mean, it sets them up for a run. I mean, they control their own destiny.
They do. They do. And the Tigers look good. I mean, Burrow running for a 60-yard play. I mean, that just doesn't happen because he looks slow as hell. But that little zone read fake, and there's no one. Literally, the whole defense flew 35 miles to the right, and he just pops out to the right. 35 miles to the left, pops out to the right, and he goes.
They
crazy
thought
stuff.
There was no way in hell he would ever run the football. And he just pulls it out and goes.
And he threw a stiff arm to get an extra, like, 20 yards. It was amazing. Amazing run by Burrow. Gotta love that. So speaking of SEC football, one of my favorite moments of the weekend was the head coach's almost fist fight on the Florida-Vanderbilt game. Todd Grantham, the other Florida assistant coach, yelling at Derek Mason. I don't care. I have something to say about this. I don't care who you are. If you think that Dan Mullen doesn't get knocked out in one punch by Derek Mason, you are a big, rumbling, bumbling fool. Because Derek Mason is a huge motherfucking guy. He's yoked out of his
massive.
Mind. Yeah.
I think Dan Mullen almost pissed himself. Like, he was yelling back at him, and, like, you could kind of tell. He was like, oh, God, somebody please pull me back to the sideline. Like, I have to do this so I don't look like a bitch to my team.
Yeah.
But somebody don't let this happen.
Yeah, he was saying Todd Grantham guy was the assistant coach for Florida, was screaming and was actually looked like he might try to come out there. He's a bit bigger than little slobby Dan Mullen, but Derek Mason knocks him out too because Derek Mason is – an animal. He looks like Derek Mason looks like he could go out there and play college football as a 45-year-old guy.
He does. Because he's bad. He can't coach it.
Well, he's at Vanderbilt, so we'll have to cut him some slack.
Yeah, but Vanderbilt was up 21-3 and blew it.
Yeah, they did do
blew it.
They did do that, which is unfortunate. But I just had to say, I mean, there are people saying that this would have been an even fight on Twitter. Like,
no,
Florida
way.
People getting hyped up. Florida, y'all are lucky. Because you would have gotten embarrassed because Derek Mason. No head coach runs across all the way to the other team's sideline and starts talking shit to the sideline unless they can back it up, and Derek Mason surely can.
Yeah, because he's humongous. Did you see that guy? When he was yelling, his biceps were popping out of his freaking shirt. It was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big old boy.
Guy must do a bunch of yoga.
Yeah, for real. All right, last game I have on my list. UCF winning a dogfight. Comeback victory. They were down pretty big. They were down, I believe it was 31-14 at one point.
They were.
Comeback win. I mean, gritty teams, they have to do that. I mean, so that's. I think that shows you everything you need to know about UCF. Also,
hey,
what?
Reigning national champions find a way to win.
Exactly. That's what they do. And, you know, I saw a great little Instagram post about this. It was comparing the UCF scores versus Power 5 scores.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Notre Dame just beat Pitt 19-14 this week. Pitt, not a very good team. UCF beat them by 30 points.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan beat SMU 45-20. UCF beat them like 48-20 or something as well. So if you don't think that UCF is playing the same level of competition, playing at that top-tier championship level, then I think you're crazy.
I agree. I'm so ready for an 8-team playoff. It's unbelievable. And I think, Blake, I think we might have the year where people push for an 8-team playoff. Because at this point, you might leave out two major conferences.
It's certainly
in the playoff.
It's
very possible.
So let's start talking about that. Let's transition to our next segment. We're going to talk about conference outlook. So let's talk. What conference do you want to start with, Siege?
Let's start with the easiest one. Let's start with the ACC.
The ACC. Yeah, I mean
Clemson. Let's move on.
Clemson. Exactly. All right. Perfect. And then what do you want to go with next?
Let's do Pac-12 because it's kind of a little crazy right now.
The Pac-12 is wild. Yes, it's got. I mean, it really is. So you have currently have 7 1-loss teams in the Pac-12: Washington, Stanford, Washington State, Oregon, USC, Colorado. Those are all 1-loss in conference teams. 4 of them in the same in the Pac-12 North. You only have 2 down in the South. South. I mean, let's start with the South because I think that's a little bit easier. Honestly, I think it's USC's to lose.
At this point, yeah. USC, I was not high in them at all after they lost to Texas. I thought that was a bad loss, but actually Texas is turning out to be a pretty good football team. So yeah. I don't think that's bad. And USC's getting better every game. They've got a first-year quarterback. You knew he was going to struggle early on. Getting better every game, I mean, they look like this, like they will be the best team in the South. I mean, Colorado, we've talked about this. We're not believers in Colorado. Utah, they're always kind of scrappy and they hang around, but they can never win the big one. And then kind of the rest of the conferences, you know, kind of got some loss. So, I mean, you're right, Blake. It's the South is USC's to lose at this point.
It really is. And they just beat Colorado, which is essentially at this point the only competition in the conference.
Yeah.
I mean, Arizona State couldn't do it against Colorado a couple weeks ago. That would have put them in the conversation. But that's just what it is. So let's get to where things are interesting. And that's the Pac-12 North. Washington, Stanford, Washington State, Oregon, all vying for that top spot, all with 1 in-conference loss. Siege, who's the dark horse right now and who's your front runner?
Oh, I think right now the front runner's got to be Oregon. Right? I mean, they just knocked off Washington. They look pretty good. They lost. Their only other loss was to. Their only other loss on the season was to Stanford in overtime.
Yep.
And we were watching this game together and they blew it. They had Absolutely. All the chances to win. I think Stanford looks pretty good. They've got a great quarterback, they've got great uniforms sometimes. I'll put a sometimes in there. Sometimes they look like somebody just. Puked a glow stick on them, but I mean Oregon's my front runner right now. My dark horse is definitely the Cougs, baby. They're
gotta
back.
Go Cougs. Gotta
the,
go. Cougs.
The Leach has a like every year he's back to I think Texas Tech status at Oregon at Washington State where they're a top 25 team every year now. It's not the old Washington State where every 3 to 4 years they may have a team that cracks the top 25. No. Mike Leach runs programs, and he's got his program built.
That's true. That's very true. I mean, it does look like right now, I mean, Wazoo is my pick for this division. I'm picking them right now. I'm standing on that horse. Huge win this week against Oregon. Calling it right now. Actually, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's my upset pick of the week.
Oh, we got an upset pick of the week already.
Upset
I like it.
Pick of the week early. We're going Washington State. So that being said, I mean, I think it is Washington State's to lose at this point. They have Oregon at home and Washington at home. Going out to the middle of nowhere, Washington's a tough thing to do for a lot of people. I think the Washington Cougars have the inside track at this point in time. Washington already lost to Oregon. Stanford has 2 losses in a row. The Utah loss is kind of bad, so I think I'm out on Stanford, even though they only have 1 conference loss. I just don't think they're going to pull it together.
I don't think so either. Bryce Love, what happened?
I mean, just kind of fell off the face of the earth.
It kind of stinks.
It happens sometimes. Sometimes you just people see the tape. They see too much tape on you, and they figure you out. One-trick ponies is what they call that in the biz. All right, but I think Washington State has an inside track. If they lose this weekend, obviously that's untrue. But if they win this weekend, they get Washington at home, which is a huge benefit to them. Huge benefit to the so I think Mike Leach could be his year.
I love it. I really do hope. I will be rooting for Washington State very hard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Siege, what do we want to talk about next?
Let's go SEC. SEC. It just means more because we're a bunch of idiots.
Damn straight.
It just means more because half our fan base didn't even go here.
That's darn straight. I mean,
it just
Alabama
means fans. More because I went to Georgia Southern Central State University, but I'm a Bama fan.
That's what it sounds like. That's pretty much what it is.
That's pretty much half their fan base. Like, it really is.
It's true. I'm from Waxahachie, Minnetonka, Tennessee, and I root for the Tennessee Volunteers.
Where'd you go to college? Oh, I didn't. I didn't even graduate high school.
I've been working at the shop since I was 17 years old. All right. So, Siege, I mean, let's start with the SEC West. It's absolutely Bama's to lose.
And they're not going to lose it. Can we say that?
I'm not going to say that because they have to go to Death Valley.
I mean, you got the Tigers.
I mean, the Tigers are good. I'm not going to call that win yet. We're going to save that for 2 weeks. That is the only blip on the schedule. But if we really look at who Alabama really hasn't played anyone that good besides Texas A&M. So, like, we've been talking a lot about how good Alabama is. But, like, they literally haven't played anyone. Which is, I mean, no. That's the schedule. And honestly, the SEC isn't that hard of a conference to play in anymore. It's just not. It's, like, the top three teams, and that's about it. I'm going out there on the limb. We've said it for a couple years now. I mean, try to challenge me. Arkansas sucks. Ole Miss sucks. Texas A&M. Average. Mississippi State, not good. Auburn,
not
sucks.
Good.
You have three legitimate contenders. Florida's not that good. Kentucky is okay. They're pretty good. I like Kentucky. South Carolina, bad.
Tennessee, bad. Missouri, bad. Vanderbilt, bad.
Exactly.
Like, there you go.
So you really have three real contenders, one pretty good team. That's what it is. Three contenders, one pretty good team. So, it does look like it's Alabama's to lose. I think the Baton Rouge game is going to be absolutely wild in 2 weeks.
It's going to be insane. I pray for any Alabama fan going to that game because they might get murdered.
That is true. That is absolutely true. So let's move up to the SEC East, the traditionally downtrodden SEC East. But actually, has been okay this year. It's actually more competitive than you think. Kentucky, pretty good team. Florida, I don't think is a pretty good team, but they could be an okay team. They've only have one loss so far. I will give them that. They really haven't played anybody, but I will give them that they only have one loss so far. So, Siege, do you think that Georgia can do what they are meant to do and take care of business? Or do you think they stumble in the next 2 weeks? They have a pretty tough schedule coming in the next 2 weeks.
They do, but they already stumbled. I think they right the ship. I think Georgia is still the team to beat in the East. I'm looking at it right now. They're better than Florida. They're better than Kentucky. They're better than South Carolina. They're better than all the teams in the East. And I think they will put it together. They had a hard-fought game against a very good football team in the Tigers. I think they put it together, man. I think they go on, and I think they went out. They have that one loss and then see if they can, you know, make it a little wacky and beat whoever comes out of the West.
That's true. I think a lot of people are writing them off right now, literally riding off the ship. And I think the only thing that could be their downfall is if they turn this into a full-blown quarterback controversy. Because people are screaming for Fromm's head like it's nobody's business.
Oh, yeah, they are. Everybody.
Justin Fields this, Justin Fields that. Which could make things interesting.
Yeah, but Georgia fans overreact about everything, though.
That's true.
When they had Mark Richt, they'd lose like two games a year to some of the best teams ever come out of LSU and Alabama and like call for his head. It's like, dude, you're just not that good.
That's true. He did, to be fair, he did not have a great game against LSU, but that's a really good defense on the road. 16 for 34, 209 yards, a TD and two interceptions is not championship material. But, he's been pretty darn good in the rest of the game. So I think you have to give him the benefit of the doubt. But needless to say, dumb college football fans are always going to be dumb, and they're always going to say dumb things.
I agree.
But Georgia, I mean, this will be a real test. If they can't go in and beat Florida at home, then their season's over.
Done. Write them off. Over.
So huge game this week for them. Florida-Georgia line, the whole nine yards, their big rivalry because they fight over some stupid little I saw a lawsuit that Georgia was suing Florida, or Florida was suing Georgia for water rights. So the rivalry isn't just on the field, CJ. It's a rivalry in life, rivalry for water rights. It'll be a big game.
It will. The biggest game of the year for, I think, both schools. They have what they call the biggest cocktail party in America.
Yeah.
And they all go down to this beach and they party.
Yeah. It's. I mean, that sounds like a pretty wild time. Maybe we'll have to go sometime.
We should.
You know,
beer bottle QBs go back to school.
Beer bottle QBs go back to school. It's a special we're working with Netflix. So you might
we'll be on Netflix soon.
Coming to your TV soon. Coming to your TV soon. And all that being serious, I think Georgia wins by 14 this week against Florida.
I agree, and I think people always call everybody says the backup quarterback's the most popular player on the team because he normally is, but you got a true freshman in Death Valley playing against a very good LSU team. I don't know how good Justin Fields would have done, in my opinion.
There we go. I agree.
I mean, that's for his first start and first meaningful, actually in a big game playing time. That just scares the absolute shit out of me.
Agreed. Yeah. It would be interesting if he did go and play. We'll never know. I think going with Jake Fromm's the right choice. I think Kirby Smart knows that. I just don't think the dumb Georgia fans know that. I think the smart ones probably know that. The dumb ones, not so much. Which is
because they all went to Georgia Southeastern State University A&M, and they don't know what football is. Like they're like, we scored, good.
Yeah. That being said,
I think the backup in. We're not winning. Yeah.
Like you said, 90% of fans are dumb, 10% are smart. So that's how it goes. You just have to stay away from Twitter, Kirby, if you're smart. All right. Siege,
I like what you did there.
What?
Stay away from Twitter, Kirby, you're smart.
Exactly. Yes, that's a little cheeky joke I had there hidden in plain sight.
Yeah, you didn't mean to make.
I did not. I absolutely did not mean to make it at all. You know, big brains just do big brain things on accident sometimes.
Yep.
All right,
smart.
What are we going with next? Have we talked Big Ten yet? I've gotten so razzled, I don't even remember.
Yeah, let's go Big Ten. We haven't talked about them yet.
All right, so let's be real. It's Michigan, Ohio State, and that's really it.
Let's see. Right on the money right there.
Yeah.
The West is the worst subconference in college football. Horrendous.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. Like, the fact that right now Northwestern's on top of that half of the division with let's just go through some of their losses. Almost lost to Nebraska in overtime. They lost to Akron. Of all people.
Ooh.
Lost to Duke.
The Zips. They're pretty good. Like, the Akron Zips.
Zips.
They're as our producer likes to say, they're scrappy.
They're a scrappy football team. That's correct. They're a scrappy football team. Yeah. It's a joke that Northwestern is 3-3 and is at top of the West. Wisconsin got mauled by Michigan.
Absolutely embarrassed.
But that being said, I think Wisconsin still probably wins this half of the division. Is that bad? You get mauled by Michigan, you're probably going to win the West.
Put some respect on the Iowa Hawkeyes' name, Blake.
I love the Hawkeyes. You know I love the Hawkeyes. Shout out to Chris Norse, the most legendary kicker in Iowa Hawkeyes history.
Legendary. Absolute legend.
But they've already lost to Wisconsin. So if Wisconsin wins out,
it's true.
And they still have Penn State on the schedule, but I think they probably win the Penn State game. I don't know. It'll be interesting. We will see what happens. I like the Hawkeyes, though. They are by far, it's them and Wisconsin, and those were the only two teams on this half of the conference that can play. I was so wrong about my Minnesota's top 25 pick.
You were very wrong about that.
But they did play Ohio State well, so won that one in the pick 'em this week, which was a good call by me.
They did. They were winning 14-3, and then proceeded to not score for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Which is not great.
Yeah. it's not great. That's certainly not great. All right, let's get to the top half, the Big Ten East. There's a lot of mumble jumble here. A lot of teams at 4-2 overall, with a couple losses here or there in conference, out of conference. But let's be honest, it's Michigan versus Ohio State. It's going to come down to that. No one can convince me otherwise at this point.
100%. 100% agree. No reason to even discuss that. They're significantly better than every other team.
Yeah, and I personally think it's safe to say that the winner of that game will win the whole conference.
Yeah, 100%. The West is – last year we had Wisconsin who had a very good season.
Yeah.
But then they got into the Big Ten final game and sucked.
Yeah.
Sucked. They sucked, Blake. They're not good.
Yeah, they can't play under pressure. They just run the football. Still don't have a quarterback. The only time they've ever really had a quarterback was Russell Wilson, a graduate transfer for 1 year. So, I mean, you think you could find one white guy in the Midwest that could throw 15 good passes a game?
A decent ball.
15 passes a game. You just have to hit. You could go 15 for 15 throwing very easy passes because you're going to run the ball the other 55.
A lot.
So I don't get it. Wisconsin just, it's a joke. But Michigan finally has a quarterback. We've been talking about that for years. I don't know what happened in game one, but they look like a completely different ball club over the last couple weeks.
They've turned it around. They've got a legit shot at actually making the playoff. If they can knock off Ohio State and win the Big Ten, I think they're in.
I agree. It could come really interesting down the stretch as far as playoff conversations go.
One more thing about the Big Ten Conference. Is Scott Frost going to get fired?
No, there's no way.
Nebraska sucks. I've been seeing there's chatter online. Like, there's chatter.
The dumbass Nebraska fans are chattering about firing Scott Frost already?
Yeah, some guy released what the financial hit would be if they fired Scott Frost.
We're going to have to do, Siege? We're going to have to bring our good friend Peter Witt on the podcast.
Peter Witt, yes, we do need Peter Witt. He might not come on, dude.
We're going to have to bring the good friend Peter Witt. No, I think you will. I'll text him this week. We'll see if we can get him on. I think we're going to have to talk about this because they would be so dumb. We said this would end Scott Frost's career, though. We said that last year.
It will. This is the last major program he'll be a head coach for.
He is young, so maybe not like totally in his career, but like, it will severely stunt the momentum. Like, he'll, because what he did at UCF, we can't discredit that. He did build that program. So, someone will take a shot at him afterwards, and maybe he can get back up to the top. But it was a dumb move. He should have stayed with the defending national champs.
National title.
Let's get to our favorite conference to talk about.
The Mid-American Conference?
Yes, the Mid-American Conference. We're talking action, Tuesday Night Ball. Great game this week coming up. Somebody versus somebody. Okay, now we talk action. It's on to the Big 12 Conference.
Hey, there it is.
All right, Siege. It's wide open. It's absolutely wide open at this point.
Absolutely wide open. Blew the doors off the conference this week. Total flip-flop. You've got three teams right in it. Four teams, actually.
Yeah,
right in.
Four teams in the thick of it, yes. Texas, undefeated in conference play, only lost to Maryland. Still don't know how they lost to bum-ass Maryland. West Virginia, crazy loss to Iowa State. That blew the Big 12 wide open. Oklahoma, only lost to Texas. Texas Tech, their only loss is to West Virginia.
West Virginia, yeah.
So, and then you got a crew of teams at two losses, Iowa State, Baylor, TCU, and then Oklahoma State, Kansas all at the bottom of the pack.
Are done. They're done.
So let's talk about it. Texas has a couple big games left on their schedule, but they're all at home, which is a huge benefit to them, besides going to Texas Tech. So let's start with Texas. Do we think that they can go all the way and close out the season undefeated, head to the Big 12 championship game?
I do not see them running the slate. Running the slate is very, very, very hard.
Yeah.
I think they will slip up at one point. It's especially not very good that Ellinger is banged up, especially a throwing shoulder, because you get hit wrong on that and you're out for a game, and they look like they did against Baylor. They're very beatable then. So running the slate is extremely difficult. I mean, they could do it, but I just I don't want to put all my eggs in their basket because that means they would win 11 games in a row, and that's very, very difficult to do.
It really is, and they're a good team. I don't know.
They are. They are a good team.
So, I mean, I tend to agree with you, but looking at these games, they have all the upper hand in all the places, except they go to Oklahoma State, which sucks. But at Oklahoma State, sometimes that wild things happen in Stillwater. You're in the middle of nowhere. Things can go crazy. That offense can be explosive at times. I think they win that game. But at Texas Tech, if Texas Tech keeps playing well, that'll be a night game, which will just be an absolute misery fest for Texas and any people that go to Lubbock. I wrote a great article about how they're the worst fans in the nation because they are. Batteries, trash, water bottles, full water bottles at your head. That'll be when Texas has to keep their helmets on the entire game on the sidelines. That's not for physical contact on the field. That is for the shit coming at you from the stands. So I think that could be a tough one. It's hard to see them losing at home, and especially West Virginia. I think Iowa State's the hardest game on the schedule. We talked about it a little last week. You called that out as one of the big games. I think that might be the hardest one on the schedule as of for the rest of the season.
Oh, I agree. I agree. I mean, Iowa State's looked awesome in some games, and they've looked bad in others. But recently, they're playing great. I definitely see them putting up the hardest fight. I mean, West Virginia, they haven't looked good in the past couple weeks. If they can right the ship, that's a very hard game. But they've got them at home. I mean, if Texas is going to, you know, go to a Big 12 championship, I think this is the year that they're probably going to do it.
That's true. They're in the driver's seat of the tandem bicycle now. So I guess it's just a single bicycle. Is that what we said? They're on the bike? We'll say they're on the bike.
We're on the bike, yeah.
They're on the bike. All right. So let's talk about, out of all the possibilities, who do you think is going to be the team that makes it out of the fray and really steps up and gets into in that second spot? If we're saying hypothetically Texas makes it, who do you think gets in number two?
I honestly think that it's going to come down to, I hate to say it, I think it's going to be the Sooners, man.
You think so?
I think it's going to be a rematch. OU's defense is not good, but their offense almost won them that game. And Kyler Murray's explosive. And if they can just outscore everybody, which they're very capable of doing, I just don't know how any team is going to get up enough points to outscore them.
Yep.
Like you saw, OU came back against Texas and tied the football game. And Texas had the ball last and won. That's how it's going to be all year. Whoever has the ball last is going to beat OU if their offense can keep up.
That's true. The only thing, OU has a tough road schedule. They go to TCU next week, which we'll talk about a little bit more in a minute. And then they end the season at West Virginia. That's a tough game for anyone to play, especially on November 23rd when it's going to be cold as balls. So I don't know how well Oklahoma will handle the cold. They definitely have the most talented team in the Big 12 at this point. But honestly, if they go into Fort Worth and get knocked out, that could be a game changer for them too. But I think it may come down to that last West Virginia Oklahoma game.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that's a pretty good take.
This could be a shit show where, I mean, hypothetically, OU loses to TCU and then, like,
all hell would break loose. Literally, all hell would break loose.
It's literally, it could turn into an absolute mess, which I don't know the tiebreaker rules, but Big 12's had some interesting tiebreaker rules in the past, so I would be very interested to see what goes down in those tiebreaker rules, so... We'll see. It's going to be interesting, or it could be really boring. It could be Oklahoma wins out big, West Virginia wins out big, and then it's just Texas, West Virginia, or Texas, Oklahoma. I'm hoping for the scatter mess, but we will see.
I would love if there's somehow, like, everybody has two losses. Like, all these teams are just muddled in the middle, and everybody's freaking out because of these tiebreakers.
You have, like, a six-way tie for first and second, and you have no idea who's going to make it into the game. That would be electric. The Big 12, like, Bob Bowlesby and the Big 12 always find a way to fuck themselves at the end of the day, And I think this 2-loss scenario could be it this year.
Could get very, very dicey if teams start to lose.
It could be awesome at the end of the day. So, and I mean, honestly, I think the Big 12's out of the playoff. I have to say.
Yeah, oh no, I'd agree with you.
I think Iowa State just blew up the playoff chances. We're only for sure going to get in with an undefeated team. We'll just have to see, though. We'll just have to see.
Well, honestly, I think the Big 12 and the Pac-12 are out.
Yeah, it's very possible. I think it's.
Honestly.
Yeah, if Notre Dame goes undefeated, UCF goes undefeated, it's going to be very interesting. All right, Siege, let's move into next week's slate of games quickly before we wrap up the podcast. Where do you want to start, Siege?
You know what, Blake? Where do I want to start? I mean, we keep saying this, but the slate of games aren't that great. But we've got some great football recently on weeks, honestly, that I've been like, meh, it's not going to be that good. These teams are going to blow out all the other teams. But we've gotten some great football. So I'm actually excited. First off, where I kind of want to start is Michigan versus Michigan State. Does Michigan win by 48 or 45?
I mean, I think it's closer to 42, but it's definitely going to be a big spread for the Wolverines in a rivalry weekend.
It is in East Lansing, though.
Michigan State is trash. They lost to Northwestern.
I agree. I completely agree.
They're such trash. And, they're just trash. Michigan State's trash. That's all I have to say about it.
They're garbage.
LaWorke sucks. We were a big Michigan State guys to start, and they just disappointed us from the very end. We had them in like our top four, and they just played like a bunch of big dum-dums.
Yeah, here's my Michigan State was my number three team overall, and they just screwed that up.
Yeah, they just I don't know, they just don't have enough. Not good.
Not good.
All right, let's talk. We already talked a little bit about Florida Georgia. I called Georgia by 14. Siege, you didn't give a prediction on that one. Do you want to give one?
I got Georgia by 7. I think it's close. Rivalry game. It's always close. This game seems to be. Got Georgia by 7 because I still think they're significantly better than Florida.
Perfect. I like that. All right. This is a game didn't think we'd be talking about, but it's really a defining game in the ACC Coastal race, and that's Virginia at Duke.
Who?
Loser leave town, winner legitimate contender, I think. I think you have to say that.
I mean, yes, but are they really a contender? It's pretty much Clemson's conference right now.
Yeah, but I'm talking about just in the Coastal. Like, who gets opportunity to lose to Clemson? Because this is an important game in that aspect.
You got two basketball schools playing each other to go to a football playoff, so I like it.
It's big. I'm going with Duke just because it's at home. That's the only real thing, defining factor in this matchup. But yeah, we just had to bring it up just to show you how messed up and how shitty the ACC Coastal is now that Miami sucks.
So shitty.
So. All right, let's move on to the next one. This is a big one. It's my upset pick of the week. It's Oregon at Washington State.
Oh,
what do you think?
This is a big game, Blake.
Big game. Big game.
I do like Oregon in this game. I do.
I hate that.
I know you hate it. I know you hate it. But I like Oregon. Their quarterback is legit, Blake.
Yeah, their quarterback is legit. Wazoo, you can plug in any one of their 15 quarterbacks on the roster, and he's going to be legit and throw for 400 yards.
Right, but, I said I like Oregon, but I don't love them.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
Let's go, Cougs. This is the Cougs podcast. I love Washington State. They're going to win. Upset. Pandemonium and Pullman. It's going to be awesome, Blake. Let's go!
Oh, I'm writing that down for a t-shirt idea. Pandemonium in Pullman is phenomenal. Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry,
I baited you there, Blake. I baited you. I got you.
You did bait me. You had me.
Are you kidding? Do you ever think I would pick against Washington State, against Oregon?
You had me in the eyesights in the chamber, and you had it clocked up like you're just going to knock me out. I mean, I like that pick. We're Wazoo Nation over here. Mike Leach crazy's coming at you. Pandemonium and Pullman. Check out a t-shirt 1 year from now when we finally do that stuff. All right.
T-shirts coming to you in 2023.
Great year to be in Pullman. All right, Seeds. I love that one. Great pick. All right, let's see. Does Mississippi State have any chance of knocking off LSU this week?
Short answer, no. Long answer, hell no.
I like that. Yeah, I think Mississippi State sucks. We've talked about that.
They're bad.
Everyone in the SEC besides the four teams we literally mentioned.
Mississippi State is only ranked because they play in the SEC. That is their only reason. Like, it's ridiculous. They That's should true. Not be a ranked football team.
That's true. I mean, it's the SEC bias. Paul Feinbaum is probably saying something dumb, and that's why they're ranked. Too many SEC writers allowed to vote in the AP poll. That's what I decided.
They're only ranking Mississippi State because they want to give LSU another ranked win to set them up again to play Alabama.
That's true. It's all about the TV money. It's a huge conspiracy. Gotta hate it. All right, Siege.
I hate it.
What's your next game? I only have one game left on my schedule that's a real big game. Oh, actually, no, that's not true.
I've got one more game, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, and it's going to be my upset pick of the week.
Oh, Siege. Let's hear what you have to say.
And it is our NC State Wolfpack against the Clemson Tigers. Wolfpack is going to take Memorial Stadium in Clemson, South Carolina by storm, Blake. There's going to be wolves everywhere.
The Wolfpack are undefeated at currently. I have to disagree with you. I think they are outmatched. I love that as the upset pick of the week, though. You can't go wrong picking a flyer. Go Wolfpack. I'll probably be rooting for the Wolfpack. Actually, I know I'm going to be rooting for the Wolfpack because I just want utter chaos in college football. So we have to do a 64-team playoff like basketball, and it starts in week 8.
Oh, that would be amazing.
It would be amazing.
I would be so stressed out, though.
I would love it so much. It would be so epic. So epic. 64-team playoffs. Oh, don't even get me started on that. Love that pick. Man, that's a great one.
How much money they would make off that?
Billions of dollars. Billions of dollars.
We should do that.
I mean, that and relegation, and we're making money like crazy.
We should create, like, you know how the NCAA hosts the tournament?
Yeah.
We should host our own tournament that you can buy into and get TV deals for it and just take away the NCAA's power.
It's a business idea. I like it. I don't hate it. We'll look into it. I don't know.
And we crown the national – it's a true national champion.
It's the Beer Bottle QB's true national champion.
We can start off with FCS schools and see how it works.
Oh, I like it. I like a 64-team playoff in the SEC. We'll just combine the FCS and, like, D2 and D3, all of those teams, and like,
yeah, we'll give the Ivy Leagues a shot.
There we go. I like it. Oh, now we're cooking. We're gonna be on a roll. I like this. This could be our $1 billion idea, CJ. I've been looking into private jets lately. They look pretty dope. So can't afford.
They are. I can confirm they are pretty dope.
They look pretty dope. All right, CJ. I think it's time for our last game of the week. We got to talk about the Frogs versus OU. It's at home. Are you going to go to the game, first of all?
Yes, I will be going to the game. I will be in attendance. 11 a.m. game really sucks, but I will be there.
It does suck. I will not be in attendance, unfortunately. But I love the Frogs in this game at home. If we don't turn the ball over, I think we have a legitimate shot at winning this football game.
I definitely agree with you. I mean, TCU's played right with every single team this year. And in what has been the cause of all of our losses, it's been turnovers.
Yep.
It really has. At the end of the day, it's turnovers. If we don't turn the ball over, we're an elite football team. If we turn the ball over, we're a below-average football team. It just depends on if we can hold on to the damn football or not. Then this team can achieve what they want to do for the rest of the season. I mean, this game could be a huge turnaround for the TCU Horned Frogs if we don't turn the ball over, play a sound game. You know the defense is going to hold them to, you know, probably, I don't think OU scores more than 35 in this game. So you've got that end. If TCU can hold on to the ball, I definitely think they're capable of scoring in the 30s or 40s.
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you this right now. If TCU gets two turnovers in this game, I'm not even talking about if we have turnovers. If we get two turnovers in this game, we win the football game. And that's why I'm picking a Frogs win. It's my second upset pick of the week.
I bet you didn't think you were going to get two
this week. I bet you didn't think you were going to get two. But I completely agree. If we hold on to the football, I just want to talk about one thing. If you don't think Big 12 Conference, I know you're out there listening, Bob. If you don't think that I know you purposely gave OU 2 weeks off before going to TCU so they have a better chance of winning, I'm on to you, Bob, you little scummy rat of a commissioner. I'm on to you because it's completely unfair to have us play on a Thursday, only have 6, 7, 8 days off instead of 2 weeks. They have Texas, TCU back-to-back. Oh, but they have 2 weeks in off. So 2 weeks to prepare is absolutely ridiculous for a top 10 team. Ridiculous. But you know what? We're going to beat them anyways.
I love it. I think we will beat them, but I have to put the asterisk on there if we don't turn over the football. If we turn over the football, TCU, and I hate to say it, is a below-average football team.
That is absolutely true, as we've shown throughout this season. All right, Siege, I think we're about out of time. Ben's going to have a good amount of content to edit for this one. That's for sure. You got anything else?
Firecracker of an episode.
That's a great episode. One of our best, I think.
I would agree.
All right, Siege, what do you think? You got anything else?
Oh, pray to God that TCU doesn't turn over the football. I might do like a rain dance or some like ritual or something, or go down to New Orleans and try to find a voodoo doll or something to stop our turnovers.
I think we should invent a beer bottle QB's no turnover dance.
I like it. I'm in.
We'll brainstorm this week and maybe we'll have something on the Insta for y'all by this Friday. Our traditional ancestral beer bottle QB's no turnover dance.
I love it. But I think we have to.
I think we have to. All right, guys. This has been a great episode. Everyone, the spiel, no one's done it, so just, you already know, go check out the Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. You never do, but you still have the opportunity to. That's the beauty of it. You still have the opportunity to slide in our DMs, tell us what you want us to talk about, and we'll talk about it. We're not that hard, guys.
It's not that hard.
No, we're not complicated, guys. You tell us what you want, we give it to you. We serve the people. We're men of the people.
We talk about NC State and Washington State on this podcast a lot, and no one else does that.
Yeah, more time.
I can guarantee you that.
More time than we should for where our audience base is, but you know, it's a... All right, Siege. I think that's a wrap.
All right.
No, you can't save, I'm mad enough. Smoking hella weed, I'm on the alcohol. Shawty lick me clean away, she sucked me off. I keep two O's in my bed, I got them turning up. What would you do if you heard I got it going on? I had to burn, I left skirmers, I had to deal. Gotta watch for 12, around my town, you might get killed. I'm on my mind, yeah, I'm high by the rim. You copping live, boy, I got it all on film. You gotta watch out where you rockin', shit get real. Drink too real, I can't be fake, don't